Thankful to be here this afternoon with you and in this gathering, and although we anticipate many more to come yet, I do enjoy the association with each of you. The speaker that we have chosen for this afternoon is a brother that I've known for many years, and I hardly know exactly when I did first meet him, but it was back when I was a teenager. And we have had an acquaintance, a good acquaintance all these years in the service of the Lord. And I have special memories of his father and the family, Case family. And I know that as I watch his family grow up and my family, that there is yet the great promise of even more of our of this work being carried on, and so I'm thankful for this, and I know that he is as well. I would present to you this afternoon as our speaker and ask for your prayers and your support and your smiles, Evangelist Marvin Case.
Thank you so much, Brother Rollins. And thank you for your instant response. I appreciate it a great deal. You know, sometimes things happen in strange ways, and this is one of those things. I guess I should have known ahead of time that this is, I should have asked for somebody to assist me up here. But I sure appreciate the brother, and like he says, the special that come forth. You know, I guess I want to start out today by reading a verse from Moroni over in the 7th chapter. Two or three verses here, beginning at verse 46 on page 767, the 7th chapter of Moroni. And how is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you, that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection, to be raised into eternal life, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. In this promise, we look for and to a great deal. Because what is there that we can preach to you except Jesus Christ and him crucified? Our society nowadays tries to sidestep these issues, but it seems like the more they try to sidestep them, the more they get themselves in trouble. The more they prove how very, very much they need the help of our God, that He will help them do the things that they need to do. And so, with this in mind, I guess, as we're gathered together in a reunion, it seems like in a reunion it'd be a good idea to have a flag to rally around. And you know we do have that. Maybe we don't have one that we hang on a pole, but I'd like to read you a little story about another man that was called Moroni. And this is in the 21st chapter of Alma. I'll start at verse 41 or 40 to kind of give you an idea. Now it came to pass when Moroni, which was the chief commander of the armies of the Nephites, had heard of these dissensions, he was angry with Amalickiah. And it came to pass that he rent his coat, and he took a piece thereof and wrote upon it, "In memory of our God, our religion and freedom, and our peace, our wives and our children." And he fastened it upon the end of a pole. And he fastened it, and he fastened on his headplate and his breastplate and his shield, and girded on his armor about his loins. And he took the pole which had on the end thereof his rent coat, and he called it the title of liberty. And now, I'd like to skip over here a little ways. In verse 71, "And it came to pass that also that he caused the title of liberty to be hoisted upon every tower which was in all the land, which was possessed by the Nephites. And thus Moroni planted the standard of liberty among the Nephites." Now I'd like to back up here now, that after he had his coat rent and he called it the title of liberty, verse 43 it says, "And he bowed himself to the earth and he prayed mightily unto his God for the blessings of liberty to rest upon his brethren, so long as there should be a band of Christians remain to possess the land. For thus were all the true believers in Christ, which belonged to the church of God, called by those who did not belong to the church, and those who did belong to the church were faithful. Yea, all those who were true believers in Christ took upon them gladly the name of Christ, or Christians, as they were called, because of their belief in Christ, which should come. And therefore at this time Moroni prayed that the cause of the Christians and the freedom of the land might be favored." And I think that we live in a day that we may not be threatened by an invading force, and yet we are threatened by an invading force. A force that you don't see. A force that's hard for us as human beings to fight against unless we have a standard to rally around. A standard of liberty. Flying the flag of the title of liberty. You know, in James, I think he gave it a pretty good look when he was talking about things in the first chapter over here in verse 25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So as you look for these things, we have to realize And in case you had thought that I was going to preach something to you that was new, I guess you're going to be disappointed this morning or this afternoon. The very government that we have and the land that we call the land of the free and the home of the brave. You know, according to my Bible and my Book of Mormon, and especially my Book of Mormon, true bravery among mankind finds its foundation in a belief in God. And without the doctrine of Christ and the standards that it sets, the government that we have will not work. And the more people become greedy, the more our leaders become greedy and less righteous, or more wicked, however you want to say it, the more of a problem we have in our government. And all the things that they try to do that they say will solve the problems don't work. It's like trying to counsel a marriage. And the ones that you're trying to counsel listen, but they don't believe. Or maybe one will believe, and the other one has no interest in trying to believe. And yet at the same time, trying to preserve that marriage. Because everyone has their right of choice. And so the one is greatly disappointed because it can't be preserved. And sometimes you feel like, well, God didn't hear my prayer. Yes, God heard. But He did not override, He did not compel another to follow the commandments. Because they had a choice as well. And so we have to look at things that way. But we also have to realize that as we go into our lives, maybe it's not appropriate for me to mention this election year when we're going to elect a president of the United States. And I think there's some other senators and representatives that are to be elected. This book that I read, that I call the Book of Mormon, tells me that my Bible is true. And not only that, it mentions in here, in one place, that the people were careful not to choose as their leader anyone who was not a righteous person and did not believe in God. Of course, I'm paraphrasing the words that it uses. But if you think that the book tells you anything different, I challenge you to look it up. The Moroni that I read about, the one that had this standard of liberty and put it on a pole, was one of the ones that they chose to be their leader because they didn't want leaders that were not righteous men. And he was one. And so now we are placed in a position where, and I realize that we can say, well, we don't have a righteous person to choose. But I will say this to you. We must maintain our faith in God because you know, and I know, that the judgment of God were held off because of the prayers of the righteous. And that even though maybe you could say that the choices that we have don't include a righteous person, one undoubtedly is less wicked than the other. And so God can give us this guidance. And each one of us need to find these things out so that He can establish in his heart, how do these men behave according to the things that they say and that we see them do? How should we vote? Because this is our land. This is our heritage. In the 12th chapter of 2 Nephi, I'm going to begin reading verse 13. Yea, they had all gone out of the way. They have become corrupted. And it's talking about a day when churches are going to be built up and they're going to teach things. Because of pride and because of false teachers and false doctrines, their churches have become corrupted and their churches are lifted up. Because of pride, they are puffed up. They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuaries, and they rob the poor because of their fine clothing. And they persecute the meek and the poor in heart, because in their pride they are puffed up. They wear stiff necks and high heads, yea, and because of pride and wickedness and abomination and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few, which are the humble followers of Christ. Nevertheless, they are led that in many instances they do err because they are taught by the precepts of men. I'm going to stop here just long enough to read just a little bit in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'll begin at verse 17. We know this is Paul's letter to the Corinthians. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, the base things of the world, the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I think that's the thing that we need to do. It's kind of a side issue, but how many of us have gone down the list of the ones that our Lord Jesus Christ called to be apostles in his church when he was here in his ministry? How many of them were qualified according to the standards of the world? How many of them were wise according to the standards of the world? How many of them were noble You see, the Lord sees the heart and He sees the use that He can put it to. And this is the thing we need to realize, that even in our day, we need to be careful when we think ourselves to be very wise. And that care that we have needs to carry us to the Scriptures, that we might seek and apply the counsel of our God by His Word. I'll read on now. In verse 18, O the wise and the learned and the rich that are puffed up in the pride of their hearts, and all they that preach false doctrines, and all they that commit whoredoms and pervert the right way of the Lord, woe, woe, woe be unto them, saith the Lord God Almighty, for they shall be thrust down to hell. Woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing of naught, and revile against that which is good, and say that it is of no worth. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth, and in that day that they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. And if you'll notice, almost every prophecy in the Scriptures that prophesies dire things that is to come upon the earth, or any part of it, any group of people, always includes this same thing that the Lord told to Nineveh when He sent Jonah to preach to them. But if they repent. But behold, the great and abominable church, the whore of all the earth, must tumble to the earth, and great must be the fall thereof. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance. For the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others will he pacify, and lull them away into carnal security, and they will say, all is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And this is what we're having now. I know, realize that in our land, I'm not going to try to call our land Zion. I'm just going to try to say, this is the land that we are born into. And I've heard for many years that there's prosperity in the land, and in a way there is. But the prosperity that was once there is not as strong and not as secure as it once was, because the security that comes because of the watch care and the overshadowing hand of God is gradually being withdrawn. Why is that? It is because of the wickedness of the people of the land. And we need to cry out to God in our prayers and cry out to the people of the land that they will change their ways, that our friends and our neighbors, the ones who live down the street, that we can talk to and be friends with, that they will be impressed with the idea that there is a standard held up by our Lord Jesus Christ, that He had commandments that He gave unto man, whereby that if they lived by those commandments, they could live together in peace and tranquility. But that if they didn't advocate, if they didn't go by those commandments, their peace, their tranquility, their loyalty, their peace of mind, the very roots of their being, their faith, will be taken from them. And this is a thing that we need to realize, and we need to try to share with our brothers and sisters and our friends and our neighbors. Here in our reunion, there is a standard that we must gather ourselves to. Thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. And behold, others he flattereth away. And he telleth them there is no hell, and he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasps them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. Yea, they are grasped with death and hell and death and hell and the devil, and all that have been seized therewith must stand before the throne of God and be judged according to their works, from whence they must go into a place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Therefore, for all the things that I tell you, for these reasons, as you've understood these things, because of this, woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion. Woe be unto any of us who feels at ease and secure, and that we don't need to put forth our effort to try to better by purifying and washing away the sin of themselves and encouraging those around them to do the same thing. How can we be at ease in our land? How could we be at ease in Zion? Woe be unto him that crieth, all is well. Yea, woe be unto him that hearkeneth unto the precepts of men and denieth the power of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yea, woe be unto him that saith, we have received and we need no more. In fine, woe unto all they that tremble and are angry because of the truth of God. For behold, he that is built upon the rock receiveth it with gladness, and that he that is built upon a sandy foundation trembleth, lest he shall fall. Woe be unto him that shall say, we have received the word of God, and we need no more of the word of God, for we have enough. For behold, thus saith the Lord, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And blessed are they that hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth I will give more, and them that shall say we have enough, from them shall be taken away even that which they have. Cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm, or shall hearken unto the precepts of men, save their precepts shall be given by the power of the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost that bears witness of the Father and of the Son. That Holy Ghost that always carries out the will of the Father and the Son. That Spirit of Truth, which is another name that we call it by. Never lying. Just like the brother of Jared said when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him and he asked him if he was going to believe him. He said, yes, I'm going to believe you because I know you're God and you can't lie. He knew that. He had faith in him. He knew that there was a firm standard that never changed that was there. That he could go away and come back. And always when he came back, the one that he found would teach him and tell him the same thing as he had the time before he had been there. He would never change the rules. They would always be the same in the way that he needed to walk to gain his salvation. Woe be unto the Gentiles, saith the Lord God of hosts, for notwithstanding I shall lengthen out mine arm unto them from day to day, they will deny me. Nevertheless, I will be merciful unto them, saith the Lord God, if they will repent and come unto me. For mine arm is lengthened out all the day long, saith the Lord God of hosts. But behold, there shall be many at that day when I shall proceed to do a marvelous work among them, that I may remember my covenants which I have made unto the children of men, that I may set my hand again the second time to recover my people which are of the house of Israel. And also that I may remember the promises which I have made unto thee, Nephi, and also unto thy father, that I would remember your seed, and that the words of your seed should proceed out of my mouth unto your seed. And my word should hiss forth unto the ends of the earth for a standard unto my people. And this is what we're reading. And we need to remember that always. It is a standard by which we should go to regulate our lives, to carry on our discussions and our hopes of everlasting life and the future of any kind. It is our standard. For a standard unto my people, which are of the house of Israel. And because my word shall hiss forth, many of the Gentiles shall say, a Bible, a Bible. We've got a Bible, and there cannot be any more Bible. But thus saith the Lord God, O fools, they shall have a Bible, and it shall proceed forth from the Jew, mine ancient covenant people. And what thank they the Jews for the Bible which they received from them? Yea, what do the Gentiles mean? Do they remember the travails and the labors and the pains of the Jews and their diligence unto me in bringing forth salvation unto the Gentiles? O ye Gentiles, have ye remembered the Jews, mine ancient covenant people? Nay, but ye have cursed them and have hated them and have not sought to recover them. I might kind of carry out, we in this land in which we live, this promised land, have been called a Gentile nation. But at the same time that we are a Gentile nation, we have historically been one of the ones that promoted the cause of the return of the Jews and the preservation of their race. Sometimes lately, we hear the voice rising that this should not be our cause. But brothers and sisters, as the Lord has brought forth the tool that I hold in my hand, the standard, we must also maintain the standard of everlasting life and the beckoning of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he says that he didn't send anybody away, that he called everybody to come unto him. And we must do the same thing, as he used this book as the foundation to usher in a situation whereby he could bring about the restoration of the gospel and restore the holy priesthood. And so now this holy priesthood must use this standard as a guide. And you're going to say to me, Marvin, you shouldn't just use that book. How many of you have read this book through? If you have, you will realize that it tells you that there is a Bible that came across the many waters with those that came both out of captivity and established this land. And that that record was to be put together with this one. And it was true. And as it went forth in the beginning, as it after Christ established his church, from Jew to Gentiles, it went forth from Jew to Gentiles according to the truth that was in God. But then it went through the hand of the great and abominable church, and there were things that were kept back. Many plain and precious things. But this standard, which said that standard was true, was to bring forth many things that would help us to once again have those plain and precious things brought to our understanding, so that we could put down false doctrine, so that we would have that constant and sincere and firm hope. Yes, there is more yet even than this. But there is a day that we must go through to try our faith according to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must go through the situation to use this and believe it, to try our faith, to get ourselves ready, so that there will be a day come when other things can come When the revelation of all the dealings of God with mankind and all the things that He has said will be brought to our understanding and our attention. But that day is not yet. We now must test ourselves to see, do we believe the word that we have, the standard of faith? But behold, I will return all these things upon your own heads, for I, the Lord, have not forgotten my people. Thou fool that shall say, a Bible? We have got a Bible and need no more Bible. Have ye obtained a Bible, save it were by the Jews? Know ye not that there are more nations than one? Know ye not that I, the Lord your God, have created all men, and that I remember they which are upon the isles of the sea, and that I rule in the heavens above and in the earth beneath. And I bring forth my words unto the children of men, yea, even upon all the nations of the earth. Wherefore murmur ye, because ye shall receive more of my word? Know ye not that the testimony of two nations is a witness that I am God? That I remember one nation like unto another. And when the two nations shall run together, the testimony of the two nations shall run together also. I do this that I may prove unto many that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that I speak forth my words according to mine own pleasure. And because that I have spoken one word, ye need not suppose that I cannot speak another. For my work is not yet finished, neither shall it be until the end of man, neither from that time henceforth and forever. Wherefore, because that ye have a Bible, ye need not suppose that it contains all my words. Neither need ye suppose that I have not caused more to be written. For I command all men, both in the east and in the west, and in the north and in the south, and in the islands of the sea, that they shall write the words which I speak unto them. For out of the books which shall be written, I will judge the world, every man according to his works, according to that which is written. For behold, I shall speak unto the Jews, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto the Nephites, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto the other tribes of the house of Israel, which I have led away, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto all the nations of the earth, and they shall write it. And it shall come to pass that the Jews shall have the words of the Nephites, and the Nephites shall have the words of the Jews. And the Nephites and the Jews shall have the words of the lost tribes of Israel, and the lost tribes of Israel shall have the words of the Nephites and the Jews. And it shall come to pass that my people, which are of the house of Israel, shall be gathered home unto the lands of their possessions, and my words shall be gathered in one. And I will shew unto them that fight against my word and against my people which are... Behold, except ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall all likewise perish. And because of the words which have been spoken, ye need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. For behold, I say unto you, as many of the Gentiles as will repent are the covenant people of the Lord, and as many of the Jews as will not repent shall be cast off. For the Lord covenanteth with none, save it be with them that repent and believe in His Son, which is the Holy One of Israel. And I'll stop here just long enough to call to our attention. We have been known since the very foundation of our Constitution that we were supposed to be a Christian nation. And as long as our nation tried to be a Christian nation, even with the many faults that we had, and I'm just hitting some high spots here by reading this scripture, we dwelled safely here. And we had some security here. But we didn't stop to realize that that security was provided by the almighty hand of God. And that as we drifted into the wickedness that has now come upon us, and we became less Christian less true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bars were let down. And we felt the onslaught of all the Oriental religions and the Satan worshipers. They always existed, but it didn't molest us the same. And so now we must recognize the warning signs and rally to the standard in this our reunion. Give ourselves that everlasting hope and desire and invigorate us with energy so that we can learn the way to talk to our friends and neighbors, so that we can give them the hope that we ourselves have, and maybe even a better hope. Maybe they will have a better hold on our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our standard. He is the light that we hold up to the world. The things that we have seen Him do. And these are the activities that we should carry on in our church. And now I would prophesy somewhat more concerning the Jews and Gentiles. For after the book of which I have spoken shall come forth and be written unto the Gentiles and sealed up again unto the Lord, there shall be many which shall believe the words which are written, and they shall carry them forth unto the remnant of our seed. And then shall the remnant of our seed know concerning us how that we came out from Jerusalem, and that they are a descendant of the Jews. And the gospel of Jesus Christ shall be declared among them. Wherefore they shall be restored unto the knowledge of their fathers, and also to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which was had among their fathers. And then shall they rejoice, for they shall know that it is a blessing unto them from the hand of God. And their scales of darkness shall begin to fall from their eyes. And many generations shall not pass away among them, save they shall be a white and a lightsome people. And it shall come to pass that the Jews, which are scattered also, shall begin to believe in Christ, and they shall begin to be gathered in upon the face of the land. And as many as shall believe in Christ shall also become a delightsome people. Brothers and sisters, this is the thing we need to cling to. We need to have it as our everlasting hope. And this gospel of Christ that is carried forth, there is a thumbnail sketch of what it is. I'm going to read it. It's found in the 12th chapter of 3 Nephi. Starting at verse 25. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel. And this is my gospel, which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and that after I had been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me, that as I had been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men. And for this cause he fulfilleth the word which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith and the repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. Now this is the commandment. Repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and ye know the things that ye must do in my church. For the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. We sometimes wonder what people are going to be able to see. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ recognized the fact that when his people kept his commandments, had great faith in him, that there was something that was going to shine forth among them. And the thing that was going to shine forth among them is talked about in St. John, the 13th chapter. It's talked about in several other places. Excuse me. But this is the place I'm going to read. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Not just with words, with activities, with the radiance of the Holy Spirit touching each heart and drawing them together in his love. It is the thing that will shine forth when we all have our hearts filled with that love of God. Thank you very much. Let's go forth and rally around this standard. Hold on to it with all of our might and share it with all that will listen.